Galatians chapter number 5. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for all that you do. And God, I pray, dear Father, as we've come into your house, that we've come with one mind and one accord to worship you and to lift you up. You're an amazing and an awesome God. God, thank you for loving us, just old sinners. Your word tells us that you loved us while we were still yet sinners. And God, I want to thank you and praise you for that. God, I pray as we get into your word for just a few minutes, I pray that you'll touch our hearts. God, I pray that you'll help us, God, if there's changes that need to be made in our lives, that we have the right relationship with you, that you'll help us, God, to surrender our lives to you and yield to your Holy Spirit. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day they come to use our personal Savior. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter number 5, we're going to begin reading with verse number 1. The Bible says, stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I'm going to stop a couple of times as we read this morning, trying to get to the text that I feel that God's laid upon my heart. But you look here in chapter 5 and verse number 1 of Galatians, the Bible tells us, and Paul is writing to the church of Galatia here, and he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Now look, there's a comma there, so there's a separation. So let's go back and let's read it like this. Stand fast and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, the liberty that God has given us a way to be free from this yoke of bondage. And the Bible tells us here, he says, to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Aren't you glad this morning that when God saved you, that he set you free? He didn't save you unto a bondage. He didn't save you unto a slavery. He didn't save you unto a prisoner, but he saved you and he set you free by his marvelous grace. I'm so glad that God has set me free. And as you look at the scripture this morning that says to stand fast, there are some things that we need to stand fast in, and I'm not going to get into a lot of them this morning, but I want to give you one example really quick. We have horses. We have a couple of, I only own one horse, but my family owns several. And I want you to know that some of our pastures, we have woven wire fence. And if you don't know exactly what woven wire fence is, it's the fence that has the squares in it. That's not good for horses. Because what happens sometimes is those horses, they come along and they stick their feet or a foot through one of those squares in that fence. Now, what happens then is they panic because they realize that their foot has been caught. And they go to jerking and they go to trying to get away and trying to get loose from that fence. And we have had a couple of horses that they have ripped tendons in right in behind their hooves. And then that horse can no longer be ridden. You can ride them for just a short period of time and they come up limping. Now, we have one horse or maybe a couple of different ones that has stuck their foot through that fence. And when they stuck their foot through that fence, they realized that they had made a wrong move, and they just stood still. They stood there. Some of them have stood there all night long. And we could go out, and then we would cut the fence and pull their foot out. Because they were willing to stand and not panic and not trying to pull away, then they were able to be rescued from where they were at. Look, Christian, sometimes we're going to find ourselves in a dangerous situation. We make a wrong move. We stick our foot into something that it shouldn't have been stuck into. We stick our nose somewhere that it shouldn't have been. We stick our life somewhere that we know that our life shouldn't have been. Don't panic and try to pull away from God. Don't find yourself in a place that you're going, oh no, I better pull away now because I'm somewhere I shouldn't. Stand still in the liberty that he's given you and wait on God, and he will rescue you, I promise you, right where you're at. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It is so dangerous when we go back on God and we go back to what God rescued us from. It is so dangerous for our Christian lives. Verse number 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. In this time period when people were circumcised, it was saying that they agreed with the law. It was a ritual that they'd done saying that they accepted the law in their life, that they was going to follow the old Mosaic law. Well, I want to tell you something, that they were no longer under the law. They were now under grace since the death of Jesus Christ, and they were saying that they accepted the law in their life. And what that was saying is that they recognized that there was something that they could do that would make them worthy of heaven. That was something that they could do. There was a work that they could live that law good enough. And look what he says about that, verse number 3. He says, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." Now, I've heard the last part of that scripture preached, ye are fallen from grace, is going in and out of grace. But I want you to know that God has offered a grace. God has offered mercy. God has offered his son a perfect sacrifice on the cross. And if we begin to think that there is something that we can do that is good enough to deserve that grace and that mercy and that love, if there's something that we can do that is good enough to put us in the presence of God one day, then what we're doing is we're saying, God, I don't need your grace. We've fallen away from that grace that God has offered unto us, and we're in a place that we're trying to do it by works. And look what he says. He says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. If we get to the place that we're thinking that it's anything that we can do. Now look, this, we'll go back to verse number 1. He says, stand fast in the liberty. God has given you liberty. God didn't save you to make you a robot. He has given you liberty. He don't expect us to walk around with a bunch of do's and don'ts. He says, I have set you free from the law. I have set you free from a bunch of religion and do's and don'ts. He says, but don't think that those do's and don'ts are going to be what can get you there to heaven, because that would make Christ no effect to you. Verse number 5, he says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Verse number 7, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Now let's get to where we're going right here. For ye have been called unto liberty. Again, he's mentioning that liberty that God has given you. Stand fast unto liberty. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Listen to this. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. See, a lot of times we like to take scripture and we like to apply it to our lives in the way that we want to apply it to our lives. And you sit here this morning and you say, well, God has saved me unto liberty and God has set me free. And I don't have to do the bunch of do's and don'ts. I don't have to have religion. I don't have to do anything because God has set me free and I can just do whatever I want to. But then you come just a little later in the scripture and he says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. He says, I have given you that liberty that you may serve one another, that we may serve God and give God glory. It is not that God set us free, that we have a license to go with sin, that we have a license to go, you know what, I can do anything I want to because God has forgiven me. If you have the perception this morning, or you think you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and that has given you permission to go out and sin and do whatever you want to, you better check your relationship with Jesus Christ. You didn't receive the same thing that I received. Amen, church? Okay, I'm going to make sure you're with me. If not, we're going to go back and start all over again. Okay, so God has saved us unto a liberty not to make us robots. And God has saved us unto a liberty that we don't have to walk around scared to death and following a bunch of rules. But God didn't save us and put us in a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ, that we could just trample everything that he's laid out before us. He didn't save us unto a liberty to go out and to do all the things that the world's done. He has set you free from those things that the world has done. We shouldn't be going back to where we used to be. Verse number 14, he says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one with another. I want us to go back to verse number 7. This is the text verse that I want us to look at for just a few minutes. Now that we know that we've been set at liberty, you've been set free from this world. Look, in order for us, let's just go to this one second here. In order for us, we want to take liberty, and we want to say that we've been set free. I don't want to be set free from my relationship with Jesus Christ. I want my relationship with Jesus Christ to tighten up and to get closer and closer. What we need to be thinking about is that he set us free from all of the things out here in this world that God has told us that we shouldn't do because it causes us harm. First of all, maybe physically, emotionally, or whatever, but also it does harm with our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what he has set us free from. Now we should desire for our relationship with Jesus Christ to grow closer with our Lord and Savior. So in verse number 7, as we get into verse number 7, look what it says. "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you?" Now, as we look at this verse, I want you to see the irony that's happened here. Verse number 5, verse number 1, stand fast. Verse number 5, wait. Both of those words are no movement. Both of those words are stand still. Both of those words are be in one place. And then he turns right around in verse number 7 and says, run. Now, what in the world was he saying here? Well, I want you to know something, that when Jesus Christ saved me, Shane and I were talking about it just a little bit this morning, still discussing our discipleship class. When Jesus Christ saved my soul, there was a fire that went to burning on the inside of me. The Holy Spirit moved on the inside of me. And you say, well, how do you know that? Because I could feel it. I could feel him talking to me. I could feel him pulling me. I could feel him directing my life. Has anybody else experienced that this morning? Amen. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. I've got all of the Holy Spirit that I'm ever going to have. I got it the day that I was saved at 7 years old. The difference is I either yield more to him or I yield less to him in my Christian walk. So as we go, we got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. There's a fire that on the inside of me. I wanted to tell others about Jesus Christ. I wanted to go out and live a life that gave God glory. I wanted to go out and let others know how much that God loved him. And then I matured as a Christian, and I thought I had it all figured out. And then I was just like, oh well, it is what it is. Not everybody's going to come to know Jesus Christ. And I quit running. I quit going where God wanted me to go. I quit doing the things that God, my one desire was not to give him glory. I know that I was only 7 when God saved me. I know that I didn't maybe have some things in my past or whatever, but I want you to know that I knew that day, that night when I accepted Jesus Christ as my eternal Savior, I knew that my eternity had changed that very night. I know I've told y'all a couple of times that night as I was laying there in my bed, it was as simple as knowing that if I died that night, that I would be in hell. And I pictured the devil in my mind that night as some monster, okay? And I knew that I would be in hell with this monster and away from my family forever. And I knew that Jesus Christ could change that very night. And I got up and I went and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. And I knew that night when I got done praying and I confessed my sins and I said, God, I want you to save me. I want Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins. That night, my eternity changed right then. And I was excited about it. I went to bed, and before I went in there, I was laying in there with my little stuffed animal and tears running down my eyes because I knew I wasn't right with God. And I went back after that, and I went to sleep with no trouble whatsoever. There was a peace that come over me as a 7-year-old boy. There was a peace that came over me knowing that my eternity had changed right there that very night. And I wanted to run. I wanted to tell others what Jesus Christ had done for me. Everywhere that I went, at school, at different churches, to my friends at school, at 7, I was telling them about Jesus Christ saving my soul. I was telling them that I went to my dad and I prayed a prayer, and now I know that I'm going to heaven. I was excited about that. I was running well. And then I feel like I hit Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Now here in the church of Galatia, Paul had went and he had established this church and he was writing them letters and man, they were doing good. And then here comes some nut job and tried to turn them and tell them something else. Here comes some nut job. You want to know sometimes why I don't, I'm not going to get too wild right here. Sometimes why we don't have more visiting preachers, because I think it's my responsibility as a pastor of this church to be sure some nut job don't get up here and tell y'all something that the Bible's not true. That's my responsibility. And I want to tell you something. It's your responsibility as a church to hold me accountable for the Word of God. And if I become some nut job, then you need to vote me out and get you somebody that's not a nut job. Amen. I mean, I don't know how much plainer to put it than that. If you only ever get from me that everything's beautiful and everything's wonderful in salvation, then you probably need to chuck me real quick. If you ever hear me stand up here and preach that you can go and live like hell and the devil and everything's going to be okay between you and God, you probably need to chuck me right quick. Find somebody that'll preach you the truth and give you the truth. But in verse number 7, he says, you did run well. Who did hinder you? Some nut job had come by and told him something besides what the gospel said. And he says, you were running well. Now what has hindered you? I want us to ask ourselves as Christians this morning. You can remember a time in your life, I am sure of it. Because if you have been saved by Jesus Christ, you had the same experience that I did. You know what it's like to have that fire bubbling on the inside of you. You know what it's like to want to tell others about Jesus Christ. You know what it's like for one day you didn't have peace and the next day you had peace when you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You know what it's like to know one day that if you died that you would go to hell and the next day after you asked Christ to come into your life that now I have a home in heaven. You know what it's like to have a life that's without hope and go into a life that is full of hope through Jesus Christ. You know what it is to have burdens on yourself that you can't handle and then the next day you've got somebody that's bearing those burdens for you. You know what it is to not have anyone to take your troubles to one day, and the next day you've got an almighty God that loves you with everything in himself and says, I'm here for you. Cast your burdens upon me. You know what it is. You've had that experience. So I know on the inside you've had that bubbling. You've had that fire. You got that Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And now, where are we at today? You did run well. Who did hinder you? Have you been hindered? Man, I've seen it so many times. Christians, young Christians, hey, and these young Christians, sometimes they need a little guidance. Y'all know I have to draw everything back to sports. I've been coaching Silas and the girls since they were this big. I remember coaching Silas when he was about 3 years old in T-ball. I'll never coach T-ball again. My. But you know, they were all youngsters. They were starting out. They didn't have a clue what they were doing. They were just excited to be out there playing ball. And those newbies would get up there and they would hit the ball off the tee and some of them would take off running to third. You'd have to give them a little guidance and say, here, run this way. And then you would have a parent standing at first base and that parent would say, now when the next guy hits the ball or the next lady hits the ball, run to second. And you were given those guidance all the way. Church, that's our job with new converts. They're excited. Sometimes you might see them taking running off the wrong way. We don't need to come down on them hard. Just grab them and say, hey, let me show you right here. Right here's first. Run to first. Okay, but then as we mature, now if I had to do that to my son, if my son got up to the plate, or my daughters, either one, because they played a lot of ball, if they got up to the plate and they hit a ball and they took off running to third, I'd probably march right there on the field and grab them by the nape of the neck and say, go sit down if you can't do no better than that. Sure would. They know better than that now. You know what? We as Christians, there's some stuff that we know better. And we're still dealing with it. There's some stuff that's in our lives that we know better. We know that it causes separation in our relationship with God. We know that it's going to cause trouble. We know that it's going to cause aches and pains in our relationship. And yet we're still doing it. We need, and I want to tell you something, God is already grabbing you by the nape of the neck. You don't need me to. The Holy Spirit's already twisting and turning. Quit running to third. Let's turn and run the right direction. You did run well. Who did hinder you? We had a little girl yesterday on our team. She can hit bombs, absolutely hit bombs. And earlier in the game, she hit one. She hit one so far over the left fielder's head that it was no doubt it should have been a home run. Well, I look, and she's trotting to first, just barely running. She's watching that ball go, go, go. She's so proud of what she just done because I guess she thought it was over the fence. But it wasn't over the fence, and she almost got thrown out at third instead of getting a home run out of it. She's super fast. And I got over to her and I said, let me just tell you what I really did. As she got to first, I'm gonna take my preacher tie off for just a second. As she got almost to first, I said, you better run, quit watching. I mean, I was all up in her grill. When she got to first base, her eyes were that big around and she turned the jets on. So later in the day, there was a couple more instances that she didn't really run that hard. And we talked, man, she'd been playing ball a long time. She should have known to run. Later in the day, there was one, she hit one, and I mean, it bounced off the fence. It hit the fence and come back in. Once again, she was jogging, trotting to first. You know how far she got? To first base. She hit a ball off the fence that was the longest single I've ever seen in all my life. Still standing beside of me at first. You know what? That's the way it happens in our Christian life. We just keep doing the same things over and over and over and expecting a different result. Where are we at with God this morning? You did run well. How many of you maybe have left church on Sunday morning after God sent us a message, after God spoke to our hearts, maybe about reading His Word, and you said, you know, this week I'm going to read my Bible every single day. And then you get to church the next Sunday and you go, oh man, I didn't read not one day this week. Anybody else ever done that? I didn't think you'd admit it. I wouldn't either. I've done that. Now wait, I have to read, because if I'd have come without anything to feed y'all, y'all gonna know it pretty quick. But if we don't have that responsibility, have you ever been a few days and not prayed? You know, we got a rule in our family. When you sit down to eat, if you eat before the blessing said, guess what? You say the blessing. So a lot of times, Addie is saying the blessing with her mouth full. She's already got the first bite in. And I say, honey, if you'll just wait, you won't have to say the blessing every time. But most of the time, she's got cheese fries in her mouth, and she's having to pray. Or saying, hang on a minute. Yeah. And I say, you know, every time, you know, you do the same thing over and over and over, why do you keep just messing up? But, you know, that's the way sometimes I feel like in my life. I did run well. Who did hinder me? What's hindering us this morning? Is there somebody in our life that's hindering us? Is there something in our life that's hindering us? Is it laziness that's hindering us? Why are we not running? Hey, we like that stand. Lord, I'm standing right here. You just move. Lord, move on me. God, I'll worship you. Well, you know what? There is some standing that we have to do. Stand fast in the liberty. But there's also some running that we're supposed to be doing. You did run well. What did hinder you? Now, after the day was over yesterday, I told that little girl on our team, I said, you played awesome. You really did. You played great all day today. But if you'll learn to run, it'll make a big difference in what you do. Hey, you might be here this morning. You might be living for God, trying to do what you're supposed to do for God, trying to have that relationship. But I want to tell you what, if you'll stand fast in the liberty and whatever's hindering your running, get rid of that out of your life, and let me just go ahead and stop right there and say this, you can't get rid of it alone. You got to give it to God. Surrender it. And say, God, hey, just be honest with God. You know, I've had a couple of you in church come and be very honest with me about some things. And say, preacher, I got this going on in my life. Will you pray for me? And I do. I pray for you. I pray that God helps you. But you know, once you get to the place where you quit saying, I'm going to stop, that I'm going to quit. You know, I can remember as a young teenager, there were some things that come in my life that I knew that God did not want there. And I don't know how many times, Sunday after Sunday, I would come to the altar and say, God, I'm going to quit. God, I'm going to stop. God, that's not going to happen again. And you know what? The next Sunday, I was guilty of it again and had to come and do it all over again. God, forgive me. I'm going to quit. But you know, when I finally quit saying I, and I said, God, this is yours. I'm surrendering this to you. And God, I need you to help me quit. I need you to help me stop because this is hindering my run. Things started changing in my life. You did run well. Who did hinder you? If you're standing this morning, if you're waiting, maybe you're standing fast in the liberty, but you can remember a time when you ran. You remember a time when there was excitement. Jennifer, Hannah, if y'all will, come on. You can remember a time when you were on fire for God. Hey, I want to tell you something. The way that God moved in here this morning, the way that, I mean, that everybody just allowed God just to move in your heart and in your life, it was awesome to feel that presence of God, wasn't it? I mean, once I got up here preaching, I feel like everybody went, okay, we're done. Whew. All right, let's get the singing back going. That's okay, because the Bible says that His Word is powerful. It's quick, sharper than any two-edged sword. This ain't always hallelujah, glory, glory. It's sometimes, oh, that hurts, but it'll help you. If we'll heed to it, it'll help you. But it's awesome to feel that presence of God in our life. Why do we not seek that more? Why do we not want that more? Well, I want to tell you, there's something that's hindering us. There's something that's hindering your prayer life. Something that's hindering my prayer life. Something that's hindering my time that I spend with God. Listen, it don't have to be Shane and I were talking this morning. It's funny how I believe you could go to just about any Baptist church and say, what's your top 10 sins? And I believe about every one of us could pull out a list of our top 10 sins. Well, this, as long as I ain't doing that, it's okay. But you know what? It can be something very little that keeps you from running well. I have no idea. Well, that girl on my softball team wouldn't run yesterday. Even after I got in her grill. I screamed at her. Not a bad scream, if there's such thing as a good scream. But I screamed at her. You want to know why I screamed at her? You want to know why she come out of first, around first, that I was going, come on, go, go. Because I knew what she was capable of. I knew that if she gave all of her effort, that she would have been standing at home. You know what? God sees you as you are, but God also knows what you can be. And when God goes to moving in your heart, He's wanting to push you. He's wanting you to be at that next level of giving Him glory and pointing others to the cross of Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment, maybe you're here this morning. You found yourself in the same boat that I was in. If you're in this boat, you're not rowing alone. I'm with you. Preacher, I can remember when there was a zeal. Preacher, I can remember when I ran well. There is something hindering me. There's something there that shouldn't be there. It could be big, it could be small, but there's something hindering me. I'm tired of it hindering me. I want to run. I want to reach the potential that God's got for me. Would you just pray for me? Just slip up your hand. Say, preacher, pray for me. I see your hand. You put it right back down. I see your hands. You can put them right back down. I see your hand. You can put it right back down. Preacher, pray for me. I see your hand. You can put it right back down. I see your hand. You can put it right back down. I see your hand. You can put it right back down. I see your hand. You can put it right back down. I want to run. I'm tired of being hindered. I want to be everything that God's got for me. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, preacher, I've never been saved. I don't know that I'll get saved today, but I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you just pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand and say, preacher, I know that I'm lost. Would you just pray for me? Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I pray as we've been honest with ourselves and been honest with you, and God, we know there's things that are hindering us. Help us to take this opportunity and bring it to you. God, we want to run. God, we want to be exactly what you want us to be. God, help us to surrender this hindrance to you and allow you to move in our lives that we may reach our potential, that we may give you glory and point others to the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. As they sing, as you stand to your feet, if you're here this morning, you were one of the ones that said, preacher, there's something hindering me and I'm not running. This altar's open. Come on and talk it over with God. You've already admitted it. You already know it's there. Now bring it to God and let God take care of it. Come surrender it to Him. Don't come and try to fix it yourself. Don't come and say, God, I'm going to. But just say, God, I'm going to surrender this to you. I need your help. This altar's open.
Just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are when your last prayer is spoken. Just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well.
Let's pray together, church. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, thank you for being here with us in this service today. Thank you for your presence. We never want to take it for granted. God, I pray, dear Father, for every need that has been made known, for every need that's been prayed for around this altar, God. I pray that you'll meet those needs and help us to surrender our lives to you totally. The night that I got saved, I knew there was nothing that I could do, and it was all by you. God, is still the same each and every day, and help me to know that. God, I pray that you'll just help us to go out into this world to give you glory, to point others to the cross of Christ. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.